We just finished two parables on planting the seed. The first parable where the man goes out to plant and there are four kinds of soil that he encounters, four kinds of hearts that the Lord Jesus describes, four different responses to the word as the gospel is preached. The next parable he tells of a man who plants good seed, but then in a night an enemy comes through. And he plants weed seed. And as a result, the harvest is corrupted. It's adulterated. And there isn't a field that is full of just good wheat, but a field that is saturated with weed seed and the wheat struggling to grow in the midst of it. Two parables of growing. And Jesus said that an enemy, Satan, has done this. Satan's concern is to hinder God's work, and one of the effective ways that he's doing this and has done it is by actually confusing the issue and having a false religion coming into that which is true, into Christianity. Now, we're coming to the third parable, and the third parable isn't a seed of planting, or rather a parable of planting, but it's a parable about a seed that grows. Verse 31 of Matthew 13, he presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." A mustard seed, a very small seed, the Lord Jesus said, not one of the large seeds. It's not like a large nut or something of this nature which produces a tree, but this small seed with a small beginning grows, and it becomes a small tree. It becomes like a big shrub, and the birds can come and roost in its branches. And I've seen birds do this in mustard plants. Now, what's the meaning of it? What's he talking about here? What is Jesus trying to alert his disciples to? What does he want them to understand? Well, the gospel began very small, didn't it? And Christianity had very small beginnings. It seemed so inconspicuous. It really seemed as if it would die out. At first, there were just the 12 apostles, and then there were 70 he sent out two by two, and then the day of Pentecost, there were 120 gathered together. But most of them, not very important people, not great teachers, not wealthy people, very humble, small beginnings. Peter, what was he? A fisherman. Fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, James and John, the same trade. And it wasn't a profession. It was really looked up to like a teacher or a rabbi or something like that. But what could these men do? What could these humble men accomplish? Would the whole thing die when Jesus was gone? Would it just kind of wither up and blow away? And that would be the end of this religious movement? No, Jesus said, it's going to really grow. It's going to have a small beginning, but it's going to grow. There's going to be great external growth. And we can say that that has surely happened. That Christianity, which began so small in what is today the land of Israel, today is a world religion, one of the great world religions. And it has its followers in almost every country and every continent. And some places, nearly a whole population will profess to be Christian. Latin American countries, many of them are 99% Roman Catholic and all saying they're Christian. All of South America, basically, people would say that those countries are Christian. The United States, with, I suppose, over 100 million, that are church members, Canada, Western Europe, all around the world, those who claim to be Christians, churches. So we can say there's been great external growth. Now Jesus says, it's a bird, it's a tree, where the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And he doesn't explain this parable. He doesn't really go into it. But you remember in connection with the birds in the first parable, he said that they represent the evil one who comes and snatches the seed away. And I really believe that in this case also, that the birds here are not a good symbol. I believe they picture really the false teachers, the false prophets, the religious leaders that are very active today in Christendom, but that are not promoting the truth of God, are undermining, are really trying to destroy genuine Christianity. If you remember, in the book of Revelation, he describes Babylon, that great false religious system, that harlot, that false church, you could say. And in chapter 18, he says in verse 2, he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, this is an angel now who is crying, making this cry, a mighty voice saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Full of birds. That's how Babylon is pictured. Full of birds. Satan's birds. Vultures. A picture, certainly, not of the true servant of God proclaiming his word. Now, that's exactly what we see today. We see that Christendom has become a great world religion. We see that it is spread all over the world. We see also that sitting in its branches are those who are false prophets and false teachers, false religious leaders. In the Lord Jesus' day, you could speak of those religious leaders as blind guides of the blind. You could speak of them as hypocrites. Read Matthew 23. The harshest words Jesus had were against those who were false religious leaders, who were not true servants of God. And he spoke very strongly against them. And that's the picture of the church today. Some of the worst enemies of the gospel are men of the cloth. Some of those who are the most opposed to the pure gospel are clergymen. Some of those that are the most advanced, for example, in promoting homosexuality, the tolerance of it, in promoting Marxist ideas in various countries, in many cases, it's the clergy. A great tree, but the branches are full of Satan's birds. Don't be confused. Learn to recognize those who are true servants of God and those who are only Satan's false messengers. Now, the next parable that he tells is somewhat similar. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened. And here he says, a woman takes some yeast, and she puts it in into her flour, and it works its way all the way through that flour. Yeast. Now, unfortunately, this too is not a good symbol in Scripture. Yeast uniformly seems to be that which describes evil. Remember, Paul says, purge out the old leaven. And in Matthew 16, Jesus, where he is speaking to his disciples, in verse 6 says, watch out and beware of the leaven or yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And then he goes on to say, verse 12, then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. False teaching is what Jesus says when he uses that word leaven in just a few chapters on. False teaching. And here a woman, and again I think we could say this is a picture of really the false church, this which is not the true bride of Christ, she introduces leaven, introduces that which Jesus says is false teaching in Matthew 16. And it spreads through the whole lump so that the whole is contaminated by this yeast of false teaching. And I'd like to suggest that this is the picture we have in much of Christendom today, isn't it? That here evil teaching has spread, a false gospel has spread. So that we really have to say, in many cases, whole denominations and whole churches no longer preach this pure, simple gospel. They may deny the deity of Christ. They may emphasize a religion of works. But the truth, the simple truth of the gospel of God's grace has been lost. And the teaching of the church is corrupted. It's defiled. It's like yeast working all through the teaching. Just think of, you know, the coming of the Reformation. For centuries, the most of the people had not heard the pure gospel. The truth of justification by God's grace through faith had been lost for centuries. For centuries. Lost in that which claimed to be the church. And lost by those who were preaching and teaching the people. Be sure you are hearing the true gospel of the Lord Jesus. And not that which is leavened to teach.